when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
The king is doing tonight, but the host of Broadway to Main Street is spending the next hour celebrating the fantastic talent and piano stylings of the great Andre Previn. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating today out of our studio in New York City, because we are joined by one of our great friends and great fans and a fantastic expert and friend of Andre Previn, Brian Druttman, who is also A&R at Decca Broadway and produced, among many, many albums, Wicked, a show you may have heard of, and Shrek and the Addams Family and many others. Welcome to our little studio, Brian.
Thank you. After that introduction, I'm ready to get up and leave.
Okay. Well, the door is kind of heavy, but we'll see. But we're here to talk a little bit about Andre Previn, who you had the pleasure of his company, as the saying goes.
Indeed. When I was over at Decca Records, first at Deutsche Grammophon and then at Decca, Andre was a longtime recording artist there and came into the office frequently. And there were a lot of handlers for him because he was so famous, mainly for his classical work, which is what he was mainly known for sort of the last 30 years of his life, was the phenomenal classical output. And so not that many folks knew about his earlier career on Broadway. Well, not so much on Broadway, but in the theater, I should say, and in films and around theater folk. And I did, and I think he got a kind of a kick out of it, that we could talk about sort of that other part of his career.
Well, unfortunately, he left us last month. He had a prodigious career, and he has this kind of shadow Broadway career where he worked with so many Broadway talents, either behind the scenes or in the recording studio or in one or two occasions in actual shows with major, major people. You also had a friendship with Betty Comden and Adolph Green, and one of his first major evolutions as an artist, he was a studio arranger at MGM, was actually working with them on a quote-unquote sequel to On the Town.
Right. And the interesting thing was that because Betty and Adolph had been both Broadway and Hollywood, they their list of friends and associates was quite extensive. And what was always very fascinating and interesting to me was that Previn, throughout his life, was constantly compared to Leonard Bernstein, a person who – a very protean kind of musician, could be a classical conductor and composer, also work in the theater or in film. And the two of them were constantly being compared, much to Previn's dissatisfaction. And it turned out that Betty and Adolph had worked with both gentlemen.
Sure.
And I asked them what was it like? What were the differences? And it was a little bit difficult because Adolph and Bernstein went way back to the 1930s. And so there was an old family friendship. But they said that Andre was very easy to work with. He met deadlines. Betty said he was predictable, but in the best way. Leonard Bernstein was very unpredictable. And they both said that Bernstein could let his hair down a little bit more.
He may have had more hair than Andre Previn, certainly in his long hair days. Well, let's hear, I think, the most satisfactory and enjoyable of the Comden Green Previn collaborations from It's Always Fair Weather. Here's the one, the only, Gene Kelly.
Why am I feeling so good? Why am I feeling so strong? Why am I feeling when things could look black and that nothing could possibly go wrong? This has been a most unusual day. Love has made me see things in a different way. Can it be I like myself? She likes me so. I like myself. If someone wonderful as she is can think I'm wonderful, I must be quite a guy. Feeling so unlike myself, always used to dislike myself. But now my love has got me riding high. She likes me so. How do I? So do I.
That was Andre Previn wearing one of his many, many hats, but one of his groundbreaking hats was he was a jazz pianist in Los Angeles in the late 40s, early 50s, and he devoted himself to a lot of great composers like Harry Warren and Vernon Duke and Fats Waller, who were not mainstream by any means back then. But then he churned out this album with Shelly Manne, which was a jazz cover of the score to My Fair Lady, which was a huge big seller, and I guess invented an entire genre. I think the next album he made after that was Andre Previn and Shelly Manne play Little Abner, of all things. Did you get to know him as that kind of jazz pianist?
Originally it was as a classical composer for which you know, he was the most proud. The jazz, you often got the feeling he loved doing it, and he loved the praise and the recognition, but it was something he just kind of brushed off. He did, although I will say that up until the end of his life, he would play jazz clubs. The Jazz Standard in New York was a favorite haunt of his. And he would do, he'd get together a little trio and perform there a couple of nights. And even in one of his last albums, of course, Andre Previn Alone, it features basically jazz riffs on popular songs.
Well, he definitely tackled the Broadway catalog like nobody's business. So he obviously loved the great standards. Here he is as an accompanist. He sort of blows my mind because Doris Day and Dinah Shore, I mean, have no equal in my opinion, but as a arranger accompanist, he brings out, we're going to hear stuff in them that I didn't think was possible. So that must be his alchemy. We'll hear two songs by Rodgers and Hart, the first from an album called Duet with the one, the only Doris Day.
Nobody's heart belongs to me. Hi-ho, who cares? Nobody writes his songs to me. No one belongs to me. That's the least. I may be sad at times and disinclined to play, but it's not bad at times to go your own sweet way. Nobody's arms belong to me. No arms feel strong to me. I admire the moon as a moon, just a moon. Nobody's heart belongs to me today. Arms belong to me. as a moon, just a moon. Nobody's heart belongs to me. Funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak? When you open it to speak, are you smart? Don't change your hair for me, not if you care. Each day is Valentine's Day.
Shore and the man we're celebrating today, Andre Previn. Our good pal Brian Drutman is in the studio with us, and Brian knows his way around a keyboard. So being an accompanist is not just the guy who plays underneath the singer, the chanteuse, right? So what were you hearing in that?
You know, it's interesting because the wonderful thing about Previn is, I mean, in life, he was modest, self-effacing, self-deprecating, and you'd go out with him and he didn't like to talk about himself, and that was sort of his demeanor. And when he accompanies a great singer, a Doris Day or Dinah Shore or whatnot, he's not getting over them, ahead of them. He's not overpowering them. He's letting them shine. And yet, it isn't a simple accompaniment. I mean, I'm hearing, even listening to the recordings again, I'm hearing themes in there that I had never heard before. It's almost as if he's composing. He's celebrating the original composer by sticking with the material, but he's bringing in these nuanced themes and leitmotifs, which are fascinating. And I think that, in a sense, it enhances the original score and it enhances the singer.
And it certainly brings stuff out of those two dames like you can't believe. Well, another hat that Andre Previn wore was as a soundtrack composer and as a composer for films. And I guess his early Hollywood arranger days sort of served him in good stead in the 1960s. Here's a song that, you know, probably his biggest hit ever, with lyrics by one of his many, 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 many wives, Dory Previn, that became a big hit. Here's Nancy Wilson.
Everyone tells me to know my place, but that ain't the way I play. Why am I daring to show my face? 'Cause I've got something to say. Move over, son, and give me some sky. I've got me some wings I'm eager to try. I may be unknown, but wait till I've flown. You're gonna hear from me. Make me some room, you people up there. On top of the world, I'll meet you, I swear. I'm staking my claim, remember my name. You're gonna hear from me. Fortune smiled on the road before me. I'm fortune's child. Now, listen, world, you can't ignore me. I got a song that longs to be played. Raise up my flag, begin my parade. Then watch the world over start coming up clover. That's how it's gonna be, you see. 'Cause you're gonna hear from me. Thank you.
one of the great, I think, movie themes of the 1960s, Valley of the Dolls, Dionne Warwick. You said it sounded very 60s to you, Brian.
Yeah, it reminded me a bit of Burt Bacharach, and it had me thinking whether these composers sort of create a sound and then the others are just playing into the zeitgeist, or whether some arrangers assume that a certain singer is comfortable with that kind of arrangement and the audience expects to hear it done in a fashion.
Well, with Dionne Warwick, that would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So we were talking a little bit during the break that had lyrics by Dory Langdon Previn, one of his five wives, and then his next big thing at the end of the 60s, his only Broadway show, is a man who had eight wives, who was Alan J. Lerner. And they did this musical, Coco. Did he ever talk to you about Coco and that experience on Broadway?
Not much. He didn't, I don't know if it was a bad experience for him. I know there was some difficulty working with Hepburn, but he did not, he didn't get into that too much. So I didn't push it.
Well, it's a strange show. Obviously, it had Hepburn as Coco Chanel. I don't think it would fly today because you would need a star of that magnitude and a story that would be a little more, I don't know, angst-ridden and pertinent. But it has some great material. Here's the only real cover I know, which is Tony Bennett singing the title tune to Coco.
Too high, fell down from the sky and started to cry. It's the end of Coco, Coco. Where is a friend to trust and depend upon? Scan the hills, break the sky, but your searching won't end till you try to learn to turn to someone who's called Coco, Coco. Could be the end of Coco, Coco. Go find a friend you can trust and depend upon. Scan the hills, rake the sky, but your searching won't end till you try to learn to turn to someone who's called Coco, Coco.
Is sex in memoriam, where feelings are frozen and face lotion flows in your veins.
You're wrong.
I'm not.
You are wrong.
This kind of primping is self-service pimping. It's beauty by vendor and nothing that's tender remains.
No, George.
It's true.
You're wrong, George.
But when the masquerade is through, and
and you're alone with her, it's clear to you. A woman is not her dress, or if you see more or less, she isn't her coat or gloves. A woman is how she loves. Don't tell me how high her fashion, tell me how deep her passion goes. A woman is how she loves. That magic that leaves you weaker isn't from wearing chicer clothes. Clothes make the man make more money as fast as he can. But I'm not a fan. What a man goes to hell for, don't go to Chanel for. A woman is how she loves. What makes her an Aphrodite isn't the way her nightie flows. Why should I care if it's Cardin or Gucci or Lanvin or Pucci who makes what it left on the chair? None of it's even part of all that is in the heart of woman. What's a woman? A woman, a woman, a woman is how she loves. A woman is how she loves. Don't count on Balenciaga helping you sell monogamy. Dior isn't shy, he would like all the skirts raised up high. How grand, so would I. But who cares where the hems are if dismal the stems are? Woman is how she loves, but women who get too slender make it confusing genderly. Twill be ever thus, for some feminine reason, from season to season you dress for each other, not us. We're more than satisfied with someone who's lined inside with woman. Lots of woman, a woman, a woman.
Now that is a man who knows how to write a show tune. That's the score from The Score of Coco, lyrics by Alan Lerner, a song I love. And I'm with Brian Drutman, who is an A&R person for Decca Broadway that re-released the CD of the LP of Coco. It used to be, what, ABC Records or something?
Oh, that's right.
Insane. And there's a sort of urban legend that it was released originally as an LP at a slightly faster speed, and Hepburn sounded like Donald Duck, so she asked for them to be recalled and remastered. Is there truth to that urban legend, Brian?
There's most likely truth to the fact that they sped up certain passages and songs. It was a practice done all the time, especially in that period. I know for a fact that Pippin on Motown was sped up on certain songs. But to...
That's to get as much of the score on an LP as possible.
As possible. Yeah. And, you know, in those days you could only have about 16 songs on an LP, 8 per side. Whether the voice was so distorted it made her sound like somebody other than Hepburn is probably apocryphal.
Okay, fair enough. We're celebrating Andre Previn here today with our good friend Brian Drutman. And on the concert stage, he was able to work with just about every kind of artist. Here he is, and we'll doff our hat to the Ira and Leonore Gershwin Philanthropic Fund that looks after us with a wonderful recording with Ella Fitzgerald of a Gershwin classic in the late 70s, I believe.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way you smile, I'll just be. The way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never, never meet again on that bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away. They can't take that away. They can't take that away from me.
One long lingering chord by Andre Previn, who we're looking at today. Brian, you got to know Previn at what point in his career? Around the 90s, 80s, 90s?
It was the 90s, yeah. And he was, he had left the London Symphony. He was working mostly as a guest conductor for classical work, and he signed with Deutsche Grammophon. His wish, I think the reason he actually signed, he wanted to do a Beethoven symphony cycle, all nine symphonies. And I think the folks at DG said, sure, we'll consider that. And to his great disappointment, they wouldn't let him do it. And it was a shame. I mean, there are many, many Beethoven symphony cycles out there. And DG probably looked at sales and all the others and said, we're just not going to do this. But.
Well, for a man with so many talents, there were some missed chances. We listened to his only Broadway score. His only West End score was The Good Companions, written by, you know, the venerable and venerated Johnny Mercer. Let's hear Mercer and Previn at the piano singing one of the most charming songs from a really charming score, which we'll get a chance to talk about.
May I have the pleasure of your company on this crazy quilt adventure we call life. If I may have the pleasure of your company, I'll guide you through the pitfalls like a wife. Oh boy, old bean, by that I mean you have a pal on whom to lean, a buddy in your hour of need, a friend indeed. So may I have the pleasure of your company to tag along wherever fate may lead. As we trip the light fantastic we call life. I'll be a Robbie Burns to your Will Fife. Old sport, old bean, by that I mean, let's find a bar on which to lean. Becoming at increasing speed, fast friends indeed. So let us share the pleasure of our company and tag along wherever fate may lead.
Previn and Mercer, Good Companions, a West End show that was not a huge success, right, Brian?
It was very well received in its time. It had a wonderful cast, Christopher Gable and Judi Dench. And it had
John Mills.
It had, and it was, as I say, wonderfully received. And it was playing at about the height of the trouble with the Irish Republican Army. And the story always was that there was a bomb threat on the theater, and the producers were very skittish and just basically closed the show down. And years later, when I have the LP of The Good Companions, and I asked Andre if he would sign it, and he was very flattered. He seemed actually quite surprised. But he signed it, and I said, I know this story, this rumor. Is it true? And Andre said, the only bomb in that theater was my show.
Well, dear, it's a great score. Here is a song you got him to record on one of his final albums, solo albums.
He ran the song list past us, and the executives, who sort of didn't know one song from the other, said, yeah, whatever, Andre, whatever you want. And there were a couple on there that seemed a little predictable to me, and I've always loved The Good Companions. So I said, Andre, what about this? I mean, I said, don't be modest. Put one or two of your own compositions on the album. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. And he did, and it just sounds fabulous.
And this is Darkest Before the Dawn, which I think is sung in the show by Judi Dench.
Judi Dench.
That great musical comedy star. Here is from the album Andre Previn Alone, and we have Brian Druckman to thank for this wonderful cut.
In my crib, I was stage struck. Behind a bib, I was stage struck. The very first time I spoke, unrehearsed, I told a funny joke. Most adolescents of teenage go daft about the machine age, but never me, for at his tie, on one knee. Danny Boy. School was an error, a holy terror, but I love the pantomime. Fast as a fairy, all pink and airy, I quoted the bard or palmed a card as I segued to Tipperary. Had no sister or brother, my boy, did I have a mother. She dressed me up, calmed me down, called me all over town. There's not a manager in the land she hadn't planned to see. Instantaneous tears of sorrow, extemporaneous glee. Phone available, stage struck me. I was born with a mission just to audition. A drafty hall, barren room, all they meant to me was love in bloom. On Monday I would play Dusa, on Tuesday John Philip Sousa. When we said grace at our meals, we all meant crazy feels. Armed with a trumpet, a toasted crumpet, I made every casting call. Sitting and waiting, gesticulating with my mandolin, I charged in for 10 minutes of imitating. When in heaven I wake up, I bet I wake up in makeup, emotions high for the scene, doing my tap routine. And as the angels play, knowing grin, if it is in my key. Stand aside, though I'm starry-eyed and as petrified as can be. Hey, St. Peter! Stage struck me.
For my money, the best stage-struck song there is, Marty Webb. The lyrics by Johnny Mercer, music by Andre Previn. I'm with Brian Druckman here, and we're celebrating Mr. Previn's polyglot life, polymath life. And among the many things he did in life was to seem to be a serial monogamist, Brian.
He was married many times. I remember, you know, not that many years ago, he married the last of his wives, who was the great classical violinist Anne-Sophie Mutter, with whom he had worked for many, many years. And I remember him announcing it when he came into our office, and I betrayed a little bit of shock and surprise. And with that twinkle in his eye, he said, you know, I don't know if I'm the kind of man who can't stay married or can't stay single.
Great. Well, thankfully, he wore a lot of hats in all aspects of his life. And you have a twinkle too, Brian. You have a very good radio voice. Do you know that?
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I think you do. Well, thank you for spending the time to celebrating Andre Previn, somebody whose accomplishments I sort of knew about, but I was just thrilled to really dive deeply and listen to them. And I hope listeners have enjoyed it as well. We'll close out with an album that Brian worked on alone and a song that he wrote. And we're always going to hear from Andre Previn. Thank you. Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is...